Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Bougie Best Friend Podcast. We have an entrepreneurial chat today. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm your host, Coco Cornelia Slunsky. We have an entrepreneurial episode today, which are actually one of my favorite episodes because I love learning from successful brand owners, how they started the business, what's the story behind it. And today I interviewed Allison McNamara, founder of Mara Beauty. They are currently sold in Sephora, Credo, and the list goes on. She was actually a journalist and a host on E! News. Her resume is really impressive. We touched on her beginnings in the entertainment space and how that transferred into the brand she has today. She gave us so many amazing, is it so much or so many? amazing tips and tricks when it comes to starting a business, what to do, what not to do. And I think you will really love this episode. We got into the transition of her being a media personality to a brand founder and how they navigated all of that during COVID, which was a crazy time for everyone, but definitely for brand founders. Everybody had to learn how to pivot. In this episode, we are talking about building a brand, how to pop off on social media, how to stay consistent, we also talked about her evening and morning routines, because I feel like if you are a business owner, you have to learn how to manage your time. She also gave us great tips when it comes to starting a business today, when it seems like everything already exists. How to do it, what to do, what not to do. As always, if you love the show, please leave a 5-star rating and a review. Send it to a friend. Your support means the world and it helps the show grow. So thank you for doing that and thank you for being here with me. That's all for my little intro. Now let's jump into the episode. Allison, welcome to Bougie Best Friend Podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm a huge fan of the brand. I already showed you my tried and true algae oil, but I need to know everything about you, your beginnings. I know that you have a big background in entertainment, so let's start with that.
Yeah, so I always wanted to do entertainment. I always wanted to entertain people, and I thought the way to do that was becoming a television host. Originally, early on when I was a child, I thought I wanted to be a news anchor. And then I realized going to USC in the entertainment capital of the world, Los Angeles, I got a chance to work at E! And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like kind of like news, but like fun news. And I could talk about things like lifestyle and fashion and beauty. And so I went on this journey to pursue a career in entertainment news. And I got to do everything from red carpets for the Oscars. I covered Fashion Week for like 10 years. I did, everything. It was so much fun. But then ultimately, I realized I didn't want to do that forever. And now I'm here with a beauty brand.
When you look back at your experience in the entertainment world, what qualities or like what traits did you have there in order to start a brand?
I think the traits of being successful in any career are pretty similar. You have to have consistency, you have to have dedication, you have to be diligent, you have to be patient, be willing to learn all sorts of the business from the ground up. And I think a lot of those things, when I was hosting, I started out as a production assistant. So I worked live from the red carpet for E! I actually started as an intern. I should even, preface it with an internship for 3 years at E! In different, areas of the business. So the news bureau, I did the Daily 10. I absolutely loved it. Then I became a production assistant. I was also a tape librarian, like a tape manager. And so I think the building blocks of being successful in hosting really started from learning every aspect of the business. And I think the same is true when you launch your own company. When you start out, things are so much smaller and you've got time to learn everything. I think that's really, really important.
Actually, I need to ask you also, where did you grow up? And give me a little background, like your childhood, like you as a person, what would you say, like, what are your little things that we should know about?
Oh, well, I grew up in Maryland and then I moved to California when I was 5. And I really grew up in this beautiful beach town called Palos Verdes. It's on the coast, like the very southern tip of Los Angeles. And I absolutely loved growing up in California. I think a big part of my childhood inspired the palette of Mara, the blues and the love of the ocean and finding healing and solstice in the ocean and the water. And so I think a big part of that definitely influenced the brand. And You know, I think that that also helped me, you know, decide to go into hosting too. I think growing up in California and being so close to entertainment, and at the time, remember, this is like 2000, not to age myself, but like the 2000s. And so this is when celebrity news was so big. It was like Paris Hilton and like Lindsay Lohan, and like being in the hub of that, being so close to it, I think gave me a sense of wanting to belong. And that's why I chose the path that I did.
I love that. So let's start with Mara. What year did you come up with the idea? You said you were inspired growing up in California, which makes total sense. When did you start thinking about it? And then when did you actually decide, okay, I'm actually going to do this?
The funny thing is I've come up with so many brand ideas over the course of my lifetime, but this is the only one that I really felt like I had the gusto to do. And I thought of the idea in 2015 on a trip to Turkey. I was traveling all around the Adriatic Sea for the first time. And we, you know, we're in Istanbul and we're in the Sea of Marmara, and Mara is the last four letters of my last name. And it means sea in Gaelic. My last name translates to Hound of the Sea. And so I love the idea of this sea story of being this new age kind of clean beauty brand that used actives from the ocean and brought in these beautiful colors. At the time, I felt like you were seeing so much millennial pink, as they called it. It was like the bubblegum pink of Glossier and Saturday Skin. And it was super fun. But I was looking for something that was a bit more timeless and had a little bit more elegance to it. And so with that, I chose this kind of like very chic color palette that was inspired by not only like my travels in my hometown, but also the ocean. And I just loved how this story started taking shape. So 2015 is when I had the idea, and I didn't launch it till 2018. I did do a few renditions in the middle. Like I made my own oil for a minute, but then I learned that I had to get the professionals in to create a really slick formula. And the whole process was so eye-opening. I learned so much in those 3 years from inception to launch. And now I'm here. So, and we're at Sephora, which was the dream. So
you mentioned that you had multiple ideas and you wanted to create a brand. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this podcast, they are entrepreneurs, they have these ideas, maybe they're scared to start. What made you decide, okay, this is the one I'm going to go for? Because sometimes you have an idea and you give up on it because it's actually not that great of an idea. So how do you decide like what idea is worth pursuing and which idea is kind of just like, okay, that was lovely.
I have had my fair share of bad ideas and also some really, really good ideas that never got made into businesses. But I think I've always been inspired by creating things. I think that that's what got me into my last field. And I think that's what drew me to becoming an entrepreneur. I love storytelling. And so with the idea for Mara, it just felt like things were really taking shape so easily and seamlessly when it came to the ideation that I was like, I have to pursue this. I think the big thing is really going on the necessary steps, like really treating something if you're going to do it, like go all in. And when I started to go all in on Mara, I really was at this turning point in my career where the TV show that I had been hosting for 2 years had decided to come to a close. And I was kind of at this crossroads, like, do my agent and I really go super hard on pursuing another television opportunity for myself? Do I go back to digital where I had come from? I had worked at Pop Sugar for years. I was on Refinery 29 for a very long time. I created so many shows for them, for both networks. So I'm like, do I go back and do that? And I was like, no, I want to do something else. I'm ready for a different type of challenge. And I love a second rebirth, a second career. So that's kind of how I got to where I am.
I love that. So do you remember in those beginning days, what was your first like major hire, or like who, it was you obviously as the founder, and then who did you hire first?
Actually not true in the sense that I did not hire myself first. I hired my first employee in 2020, literally the month before the pandemic started. So I did it entirely myself from 2018 to 2020. And that was really scary because I was finally ready to bring someone on. I was still doing my fulfillment myself at the time. So I didn't have like a 3PL. I was in major retail. I wasn't in like a Sephora yet, but I was in Credo and Blue Mercury. And what a lot of people don't realize is that I did all of the packaging for myself. So 2019 2019 was one of our biggest growth years in terms of like year over year growth. And I mean, we've had astronomical years every year, but that was a really big year. Went from like a very small business to like a real business very quick. And I did all of the packing myself. So in 2019, I brought on someone that was kind of a do everything type of hire. I think when you're small, you have to have people who mm-hmm. are flexible and nimble. And from there, I also had hired a PR team to really help me get the word out, because I think even though I had lots of great PR connects, it was weird for me to reach out to a lot of my friends who are editors being like, hey, and another launch and another launch. Mm-hmm. So I worked with just a single woman who helped me with PR at the time. And then I had my own business, A. McNamara Inc., my other business that I worked for full time up until 2022. So I had lots of other employees. I was actually mm-hmm. one of the later employees of Mara, and I'm still like not really, like I am an employee, take like owner's draws, but like I really like put blood, sweat, and tears into the business, and I still work on outside projects. So
I'm so impressed by you overall, but just saying that you were, you know, doing all the shipping and a fulfillment, it's just, I know how tedious it gets, because I had a merch drop, which is definitely not even like the volume is not even close to what you probably have with the products. And I know how did you even organize your time back then? Like, was that like just 24/7 working? Because I feel like today with these trends, like sometimes hustle culture is in, then everybody's like, you know, trying to take time for themselves. But I feel like if you are really into starting a brand, you have to work really, really hard.
I think it just depends what you personally want out of your career and your life. I absolutely love what I do, so it doesn't really feel like anything feels like work. And I think to be successful, you have to have that hustle mindset. I know that with TikTok, it's all about like, you know, work-life balance. And that's amazing. That works for some people. That works if you're an employee too. But if you choose this journey and you decide you want to become an entrepreneur, there is like literally nothing. The to-do list never gets smaller. It actually only gets bigger. So you have to be diligent with your time. Of course, like I do like to relax and unwind, and I really try and reserve that for the weekends. But, you know, weekdays and most Saturdays are like go time for me. Like and I'm also willing to do it. I love doing it. I still haven't gotten bored of it. Mm-hmm. And it's been, you know, almost a decade since I started the journey. So I'm grateful for that. But I think it just depends on what you want out of your career and what you want out of your personal life. If you know, there are other things that are top priority for you, then you can prioritize that, but you're going to have sacrifices in other places.
Could you walk us through one of your, I'm sure every day is totally different, but maybe a day that is not super crazy?
Yeah, I think the best day would be like I wake up, I like to do a morning workout like 3 times a week. So I take like an 8 a.m. class. I feel like I live a very cushy lifestyle now, because back in the day when I was on television, I had to be at work at 7 a.m. So getting to come in between 9, 9:30 is like very luxurious to me. So try and get to the office around, like I like to get near like 9, 9:15, make some coffee. I always try and do really like a quick scan of the important emails in the inbox. I think that's important, like full quick scan. And then I try and go on to something that takes a lot of time, or like something that's really taxing, the stuff that takes a lot of mental bandwidth in the morning. And then after I get mm-hmm. through one of those projects, I'm really good at time blocking. So I've learned that it's not healthy to check your email every 5 seconds, which I used to do. I'll try and check it for 5 minutes every hour. So like I try and kind of get through stuff religiously that way. And then I have time blocks in my calendar. I do not always listen to them, but a normal day would be things from like filming a podcast to having meetings with our different agencies that we work with. And then end of day, I feel like I work pretty late. I'll go home, I'll put on a TV show, and I'll continue working. And then my kitchen's being remodeled, so I usually Postmates right now. So I guess that's like a normal day in my life. It's kind of sad. I also make time for like, I love doing walks after work. So I'll listen to a podcast or an audiobook. I'm a big reader. So I try not to be mm-hmm. on my phone too much, but I do love TikTok. Man, my life is kind of sad during the weekdays when I say it out loud. But
you know. No, I love it. It's music to my ears, because I live in Miami and I feel like here there's always something to do. And I just want to stay home and I just want to work on my projects and my business. And I just love being home and having that dedicated time to do what I want to do. Speaking of time blocking, that's something that I've been trying to implement for so long, and I have my blocks, but I often don't really follow them. So do you have actually any advice for people that are trying to organize their calendar? Because I feel like you're definitely an organized person.
I am a Virgo rising, So I am quite organized, but I'm also chaotic in the sense where I have like ADHD, I think, and I just do a bunch of crap at the same time, which not good. The time blocking, what I've learned worked for me is I used to time block like all day, and then I would get really stressed out if I'd miss a block, and then I would just like, all wheels are off, and I would just go off the way, go off. For me, I think it worked better when I only time block certain things that are really important. So product development is something that I constantly have every Wednesday from 10 to 11. And that really allows me to answer any emails about new formulations I'm working on, give feedback. And I have that weekly check-in with myself. So even if I don't get to it at 10, I know that on Wednesdays, I have to check in on product development. I know that we have now like marketing and social time set aside where we focus on those things during those times. I think it's just simplifying the madness a little bit, not forced to be time blocked all the time.
Do you separate your schedule in a way that like you said, Wednesday is product development? Do you try to keep certain type of tasks the same day? Because let's say a content creator, do you create content on certain days? I mean, content around your business and all of that. Like, do you have days when you just do that? And then you have just office days and just, because I feel like with me specifically, when I'm trying to do multiple things at the same time, like maybe create content, then reply to an email, then send a pitch, then send a, just like when my brain is supposed to be operating in different roles, it gets a little bit burned out.
I would love to say that I just solely focus on one thing. And I do have content blocks where we try and ideate content at the top of the week and then we film it throughout the week. But I am guilty of what you just said. I'm like, film something, write an email, film a podcast. But I've always worked well under like chaos. So I think that it works for me. But if it doesn't work for you, then I would really try and stick to that time blocking. I've seen those great like cubes too that can really help.
I would love to talk about the formulation. How did you, you mentioned the sea was the big inspiration behind it, but how did you design on algae and why was that so important to you?
Well, I loved using La Mer was a big source of inspiration for me when I was younger. I was a big fan of using that cream. My mom would never purchase it for me because it was so expensive. And I loved the luxury element that was kind of embedded with that. Same with vintage Tom Ford with their blue glass. So a lot of the things I put on my mood board, like old Clarins and Estee Lauder, a lot of them had used sea ingredients. So this is not a new concept that we came up with, but I think doing it in a really clean and effective way was new for the time. I think really relying on rich, cutting edge algae actives is something that people weren't doing when we launched it, and really mixing them with very effective skincare ingredients like retinol, vitamin C, those key pillars of skincare was kind of untouched at the time. So that was really why we went forward. And I love the idea that algae is one of the few species where we're continually learning new species of algae and new ways of using these ingredients in skincare and beyond. Algae is touching everything from biotech and fuel and new ways of using energy to food and stabilizers. It's just such an incredible ingredient. So I felt like it was a really fun place to begin to play in because I thought the opportunities would be endless for discovery. And so far it has been.
So for somebody who's listening to this and they want to start a brand and they want to be in the clean beauty space, it seems like everything is already out there. What kind of words of encouragement or advice could you give to them to kind of, go forward with their idea, or maybe they could kind of pivot?
Do you think the market share is quite saturated right now? I do think that clean is a non-negotiable. Like, why would you launch a brand in 2024 that is full of parabens and phthalates when there's so many sleek alternatives that you can use? So I think clean is not the exception, it's the expectation. So if you're not launching something that's clean, I would heavily suggest to think otherwise, unless you are maybe a heritage brand. I haven't looked at Prada's formulas. I know they just came out with makeup, but that would be something where I wouldn't necessarily expect them to be a clean brand. But if they were, it would be killer, Mm-hmm. But I think for new entrepreneurs, it's a tough world out there right now. I do think we're coming off of a pretty difficult year last year. So I would just stress to go back to the story, make sure you're telling a new type of story, really make sure that you are filling a white space. And the white, it's not new because it's yours. It has to be new because you're offering something new. And so really kind of take a bird's eye view of your brand and separate yourself from it. Ask your friends, ask your peers to make sure you've got something that is, you know, adding value to the customer versus just adding noise.
Well, you mentioned friends and family. What would you say to those who maybe they have an idea, they have a great idea, and their friends and family are not supportive, or they just don't have that circle around them to build them up?
Find good friends then. You know, family isn't necessarily your family. It can be your chosen family. So just find people that you trust. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky that my father was also in beauty, but he's also the person I run all mm-hmm. my ideas by. And I think if you have someone who is completely unbiased, has no interest in anything but you succeeding, that's a great person to have in your corner. And if you don't have that, go out and find it. Find a friend, find a confidant, find a partner, whatever it is that you can really rely on. Because I think that that feedback is important.
I would love to hear your Sephora story. That is such a dream come true for any entrepreneur. So if you can just walk me through. Do you remember the date? Do you have a little anniversary when you started selling in Sephora?
Oh, I know, like every date. Are you kidding me? I am crazy. Yes, I remember the day that we got the email that they were even going to consider it more for being a part of their curation. I had wanted to be in Sephora since the day we launched. I always visualized this brand in Sephora. I thought it would look great on the shelf. It's just like I had envisioned it since the day we launched. So we had been hopefully trying to get in there for quite some time. And then finally, after we went viral with Hailey Bieber and the cleanser and Chrissy Teigen and the face oil and Addison Rae, like we had all these great moments that kind of led up to us getting like the next step within the Sephora world. And so I was getting ready to leave for my wedding. It was February 13th or February 12th, because my wedding was on the 19th. And it was that Monday. Mm-hmm. And I sat down on my computer, my last day in office before leaving to Mexico for my wedding, got the email from the merchant at Sephora that they wanted me to come create a deck and present, because they were seriously considering it for curation. And I just remember being like, this is it. So spent so much time, even while I was at my wedding week, spent so much time preparing that deck, practicing, because I had to pitch the deck 2 days after my wedding. And,
That was a crazy month for you.
Yeah. You know what? I was excited though. And my wedding was like, it was amazing, but I had a planner.
Amazing.
I had a planner and I didn't have to worry about it. It was great. So, focused on that and pitched them literally a few days after my wedding and then kept in contact and found out in June. I remember it was June 5th that we found out that we were going to be launching the top of last year in 2023. So almost exactly a year ago. In stores and online. And it's been such a journey. I'm so grateful for their partnership and for their belief in my vision. And they've helped us reach so many new customers. I'm just really excited to see what year two has in store for that partnership.
Love that. When you mentioned pitching, I'm a huge Shark Tank fan. If you were to pitch your brain for the very first time on Shark Tank, like nobody knows anything, what would you say?
I'm the opposite. I've only ever seen one episode of Shark Tank. So ooh, I don't really know. You know what's funny? I've never seen myself as someone who had to go out and make a big splash like that to get investment in my business. Now, I think it's amazing that people do it, but that's just never a vehicle that I thought I would even take for Mara. So I don't have like that Shark Tank splashy pitch, because my friend who did it, like she killed it, and she it's from Euphoria, Fiona Chen. She did such an amazing job, and I see all like the TikToks that she posts, and it's just so good. But I think for Mara, I would really just encourage them to wash their face with my product and like literally apply the products in front of me with a mirror in hand and see the gorgeous glow and the finish and the feel. Because where I really invested in my product at the beginning and why I think it's done so well is the quality of the formulations. These are killer formulas, first in class, one of a kind, built from the ground up formulas. And so I think my big pitch to them would be like, let's wash your face right now. Here's a bowl of water. Let's put on the glow. Let's look in the mirror and see how it wears throughout that. And then I would explain to them, of course, the algae that we used, why it's so special, why it's proprietary, how we've clinically tested our products, and then go from there. But I've never really seen Shark Tank, so I hope that that's enough.
It's very entertaining. Shark Tank is more like entertaining than, I mean, obviously you learn a lot about business when you were watching the show, but amazing. I would love to hear, when it comes to, you mentioned raising money or investing, if somebody is starting a business and they are meeting with multiple investors, Do you have any tips? Who should they go with, or like what kind of questions they should ask?
Well, as someone who hasn't taken on investment yet, I'm not sure I am the best person to ask, but it's something that I'm learning a lot about this year because I do feel like that's the next chapter for the business. I think it's really about who is someone, this is a relationship. Do you see yourself being in a relationship with these people? Do they think the same way you do? Do they offer something new to the table that you don't currently have? I think it's really finding that value add in addition to also the monetary portion of it, because you want to be able to find a partner that is really strong in the areas that maybe you're currently weak in so you can grow to the next level. And I do think you have to consider, is it the right time for your business to take on investment? A lot of times when we don't need investment is the time to actually start raising, because it's always a lot easier to get it when you don't need it than when you need it. So keep that in mind. And I think it just depends on how fast you want to go. Are you in it for the quick kind of turnaround, or do you want to go long and far and slowly grow? I think these are all questions you need to consider before and how you choose the partner that you go with.
You mentioned that your brand popped off with all these celebrities using it. Do you have any advice? How can a brand stand out on social media?
Social media is tough. I mean, it's funny because I think our capacity, I've heard a lot of my friends who are mothers say this, like, you don't even know your own capacity until you're forced to do it. And I think the same has gone with the amount of social media that we have, because I remember when I launched the brand, just being stressed about the addition of Instagram stories. And I was like, oh my God, I have to post on the feed and do stories now. And you flash forward 5 years and it's like, you're doing TikTok, you're filming it, TikTok shots, you're going on Reels, you're doing a live. Like, the capacity that you have is just exponential, because you just don't even know how big it can get. And so I think popping off on social media, I think is tough. I think you have to find your niche. I think if you're a new brand and you're Gen Z, maybe really explore TikTok. I think there's a lot of opportunity to be successful on that platform. I think Instagram and any of the Meta-owned brands are harder to be successful on. I think getting the iOS stuff is really difficult if you're doing ads. So I wouldn't rely on an ad strategy, especially if you have a limited amount of funds to use at the beginning. I would use your contacts. I would use all your friends, your family, gift them. If you can't have a PR team and you can't gift editors, then follow them on Instagram, start engaging with them, try and send them product, DM them, see if they respond, engage with smaller celebrities, just really getting people talking about your brand. But don't forget that the most valuable people are the people who are shopping. They are your consumers. So if you have one consumer who starts buying your brand, engage with them, create a community with them. You know, DM them back, like really create that rapport between the founder or the brand and that customer. And I think you'll go really far.
I love that. And definitely I can see with TikTok, when something goes viral, like that product is sold out. Totally. Yeah, it's totally sold out. What do you personally consume? What kind of content?
Well, on TikTok, I get served the For You page, and it's a lot of Taylor Swift. I'm not going to lie. A lot of Taylor Swift.
I love Taylor Swift.
Me too. A lot of astrophysics and a lot of weird stuff. But I love it on there. And then when it's the stuff that I'm choosing to consume, I always have two books going at one time. I have an audio and a written book, one that I read. And so I am currently doing things like, I love The Glucose Revolution. I just started it today. I'm 5 chapters in. I love learning about my health and my body. I love learning about quantum physics and manifestations and how those play into each other. And then I think it's important to also have fun. So I've been really into the author Taylor Jenkins, and I just bought Malibu Rising. So I'm curious to see how that goes. But I think it's finding things that interest you and continuing to learn more about those. And I think that's what I try and consume, is things that increase my knowledge, but also that I enjoy.
And you said that you usually you listen to podcasts on your walks. When do you find time for reading, or like when do you usually consume that like relaxing content, let's say?
With my dog, I have a dog, so she is a forced exercise and forced podcast /
What kind of dog? I just got a puppy, so I'm dog mom live.
What kind of
dog do you have?
Well, okay, you go first. What's your puppy?
My puppy is a Bernedoodle. He's 9 months. His name is Rocky.
That's
and
so sweet.
He is my 24/7 job. And then everything else comes second.
It does get easier. I have a dog who is going to be 10 this year. She's got so much energy. She's a white pit lab mix, and she is the cutest. But she does keep me in shape. So I try and do walks with her in the morning. I'll do like a chapter of a podcast, a chapter of reading, audible reading, or I'll listen to part of a podcast. Mm-hmm. And then in the evening, I've been really trying to read before I go to sleep. So just to put down my phone and not be on my phone up until the minute that I go to sleep. So that's the time where I read something that's more relaxing and fun and enjoyable.
Do you have a night routine, or is there, besides reading and putting your phone away? I think that is super important. And I really try to do this myself, to just like put my phone away at 8, 9. Obviously, if I need to check on something, I'll do it. But do you have any evening routines that kind of help you ease into, because I feel like your evening routine kind of sets you up for the day after, right?
Yeah, I've been trying to do my evening routine a little earlier in the night because I am known to be a bit of a night owl. I've been really trying to kind of control that, because I could stay up all night. It's terrible. But I've been trying to start my evening routine earlier, and that includes obviously doing my skincare. I love doing my LED light. I do that almost every night. Sometimes I'll alternate with the New Face device, just really focusing on my skin. I love to do a little bit of body sculpting with our Mara body oil and our Mara body oil tool, just kind of getting that lymphatic drainage going. I'll do some wall sits. Like, I like to sit with my legs up, and I've been trying to do some stretching while before I go to sleep, which I really enjoy. And then I'll scroll TikTok probably for a little bit, which is bad, and then I'll usually get into bed and try and read.
A little bit is not bad. A little bit. I mean, a little bit. You gotta get a little bit sometimes.
I know, it could be better. And then I try and get into bed and just start reading, and I try and read until I'm tired. But sometimes then I am so obsessed with a story that I'm reading really late. So I try and kind of cut it off by like 11:30. I'm trying to like be in, eyes closed by 11:30.
Okay, that's nice. When do you wake up? You said that you work out at 8. Do you wake up super early, or
like 6:45, 7? Like, I feel like that's pretty normal time. I have an Aura ring now, so I am trying to get trying to get at least the like best. 7 hours of sleep. It's the best and the worst, but you know, the best, because then you're like,
Do you check it every single morning? Like, that's the first thing I check when I wake up. I'm like, what was my REM score?
You know what? I have checked it every single night and every single morning, except this morning since I got it, because I'm trying to not do it first things. I'm like, is this creating a habit that I worked so hard to break, which was not checking my phone first thing in the morning? So I'm trying to like get up, wash my face, brush my teeth, and then check it. But it's hard because that thing is addicting, you know, getting that
score. I have
to
say, since I got my puppy, my score has been insane, because he wakes up, I don't know why. Recently, since he's like 9 months now, he's almost like a teenager in human years. So he is just crazy. At night, woke up like 7 times last night. I did not sleep well. But I it makes me happy that you said it gets better. So hopefully it does get better.
It gets better.
I would love to hear some of your future plans for Mara. Where do you want to take the brand?
Well, it's exciting because we just launched a face cream, and that's something that I wanted to get into for a while, just because I think offering different vehicles of hydration for the skin is important. And while we're known for face oils, I think that having a cream moisturizer is something that can make us a little bit more universal when it comes to people who are just discovering the brand for the first time. So I think playing in that space, the first one we launched is a very rich kind of nighttime cream, but I think there are other creams that we can play in. I love the idea of the skinification of makeup. So I think those key kind of like makeup elements that we can play in would be really fun for the brand in the future. And I'm really loving body and being in people's showers potentially. You know, we launched a body oil last year, and we had a great response to that. So I love the idea of creating things that supplement and support the body oil. So whether it's a body wash or the scalp or something that we can kind of play with, I think would be really fun. So the world, you know, there's so many options. I'm not exactly sure, but there are so many places we can go.
For somebody listening and all of this sounds like their dream life, getting into Sephora and all these other retailers, if somebody doesn't have maybe the experience you had and doesn't even know where to start when it comes to, you know, pitching those big retailers, what would you suggest? What kind of advice would you give them if they really want to get into these big retailers?
Well, the good news is I had no idea what I was doing when I launched this brand either. And the thing you'll learn is kind of no one really knows what they're doing. I mean, we all have an idea once you've been in the business a bit longer, but there's still new challenges that you're faced with every day, and you use your past experience to guide your, you know, the unknown of the future. But that being said, I would wait until you are really comfortable with speaking about your brand. I think one of the mistakes I made is I started pitching retail a little too early. We got into Credo Beauty almost immediately after launch. It was our first retailer, and they really understood my vision and they were perfect. But I also started pitching big retailers at the same time. And I think if I was going to give myself some advice, I would have not done that so quickly. I think you really become so much more eloquent about talking about your story as you learn and live the story for a longer period of time. So don't feel like you have to get into a massive retailer right off the rip. Like, you can take your time. You can launch D2C. You can learn what your customer likes and then kind of go from there. And I would say consistency is really important. Make sure your socials look really good. Make sure your inventory levels look really strong, because once you get in one of those partnerships, you're going to have to be able to supply and meet the demands of that business. So you need to have really good cash flow. You need to make sure that you are, you have got your inventory cycle on check, that your demand planning is working. So all these things are really important. And I still do all of those myself, which is why I'm able to sustain the cycle. But eventually I'll have to bring someone else in to help me with that. So
I just have a few more questions and we're going to wrap up. I would love to know if you can look back at any major, I don't want to say fails, but like major obstacles you had when you started the business, and how did you overcome them? Because I'm sure, like, you know, maybe if you, when you were just saying, like, if you were launching in Sephora and you have to have the inventory, sometimes let's say your brand pops off on TikTok and you have all this demand, but you don't have the inventory. So do you remember any of those moments in Mara?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many. And I think COVID really threw a big wrench in a lot of people's forecasting plans, because you used to be able to get stuff in like 3 to 4 months from order. And now it's really pushed the production lead times like 6 to 9 months. The beauty of how I operated the business is I always really invested heavily in our inventory. So I always had like lots of bottles on hand, and I really was ready to go production wise. And so I think that was something that I did well. But I do think it's something that you gotta like kind of keep in mind as you're trying to scale the business. I mean, there's so many things that I've run into though. I think that cash flow is really important, not hiring people too quickly, really making sure that you can support the people that you have. I think the worst thing that you can have to do as a business is lay off the people that rely on you. So I think you kind of having that consideration as you're scaling the business. I think it's like people really want to have these big teams but can't support them, and then have to do things like letting people go, which I think is really scary. And so I think like all these things you got to kind of take into consideration as you scale your business.
Mm-hmm. And any other advice? I mean, you gave me so many great tips and tricks, but any other advice for somebody starting a business? They may be a little scared, or they are still unsure if this is the path for them.
I don't know. I think a big thing to always keep in mind is look at your trademarks. Make sure that everything that you're doing is available. And I would heavily suggest that you get a good lawyer, because you're going to need lawyers for just about everything. So at the beginning, try not to get too excited by, you know, if you're starting to get some quick success, I would really reinvest in the business. I would, get yourself a great lawyer, get yourself a good 3PL, those types of things, because those are the bread and butter of how you operate. So
I have to say, somebody gave me an advice to trademark my podcast name and everything else. And thank God I did, because somebody stole my exact logo and printed it on their t-shirts, and they were selling it, I don't know, all over the place. And I caught it just by Googling my podcast name. And then I called my lawyer. He handled it in a day. So that was a great, I mean, if it wasn't for that, what would I do? I would be super lost.
Totally.
So I have one final question that I ask all of my guests, and that is, what piece of advice would you give to your younger self?
I think the piece of advice I would give my younger self is what we talked about earlier. It's like, don't feel like you have to be doing everything immediately. Like, success takes time. I think you have to water the seeds before they grow. I think Instagram and TikTok and celebrities make it look like it just happens so easy and effortlessly. But remember that good things take a lot of time. They take a lot of work. And if you're consistent and you really put your all into it, you will get there. You just, you know, need to give yourself some grace.
I love that. That's just a beautiful advice. And I think we all need to remember that more often, because everybody seems like everything gets, I mean, everything seems like it happens overnight, and it's definitely not the case. This was such a lovely conversation, Allison. Thank you so much for being here. I would love if you can share your socials. Where can people buy Mara? Where can they find everything?
Well, you can follow Mara at The Mara Beauty. You can shop us on Sephora, on Credo, in stores at Sephora, or on themarabeauty.com. And you can follow me at Allison McNamara. And this was so much fun. You're a great interviewer. I had the best time.
Thank you. Even though I didn't sleep so well last night because of my little boy. I hear him scratching on my wall right now. But not wall, my door. But thanks again for being here. And I'll see everybody next week. Bougie Bestie, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Be sure to subscribe to my podcast so you never miss out. I release new episodes every Friday. If you love Bougie Best Friend, please leave a 5-star rating and a review. Your support means the world and it helps the show grow. You can also follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Coco Beauty, and you can find Bougie Best Friend on Apple, Spotify, and all other major podcasting platforms. Love you, bye.